Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to another edition of the UAW Factory Whistle Show, March 27th, as we move along into spring. Oh boy, it doesn't feel like spring.
No, maybe in Antarctica.
Antarctica, you're right. Jimmy.
Good evening, fellas.
Good evening, Jimmy.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, buddy, did you see where they got Edmonds, right?
Yeah.
I like how they worded that, the slippery guy.
Adrian, you're on.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Everybody okay?
Groovy.
Doing fine.
All right.
We're here.
We be here.
We're here.
I am hearing some stuff that some locals are reading their call letter. I haven't had any confirmations as far as my own personal local 659. I have been told it was read to the executive board, but not the membership yet. But I think everybody needs to stay very, very laser focused at what's going on. I think there's when it's a delegate sign up for it, that's individually planned per local, I was told. Is that not correct, Scott?
Right.
That's true.
That is true.
Excuse me. The letter is sent out, then they have the right to establish when they're going to have the election. But the elections must be done and the results back to Solidarity House out international no later than I think it's 30 or 45 days before the convention.
You're back on, Jimmy.
Jimmy, did you hear that, brother man?
Yes, I did. I don't know. I think when I hit mute, I hit end call if you want to know the truth. I'm sorry, people.
All right,
hey,
buddy.
I know what you mean.
How
thumbs and fingers. Big thumbs and fingers on small buttons don't work well, do they?
Well, do you want my Democratic version? Putin did it.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I did. Putin did it.
Oh, boy.
Well, it was the urinal on the south lawn during the full moon when I was a child peeling potatoes at the egg farm. You know how that goes.
Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
That's my impression of our president. When he tries to explain something.
I seen
NBC this last week. And I couldn't believe it. MSNBC by all people took a shot at the president. They said, "What the hell was he talking about?" Wow, really? So anyway, speaking of taking shots, Jimmy was talking about taking a shot at somebody. That slippery devil. What's his name again?
Tim Edmonds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The embezzler.
Yeah.
He's one of many, right?
Oh, yeah.
One of many.
He didn't want to be left out.
No. He wanted to join the
crowd.
Now,
he was from what? Wasn't he from the same Chrysler plant that General Holyfield was from?
Ooh, I don't know.
They've been through enough.
Yeah, we need Brian to answer that one because Brian, he used to be with that local.
Yeah. Speaking of locals, what was the local that I think you posted it? I think I shared it from you. Was it one of the locals that's going to be doing in-depth at layoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that. What the hell was that one? Hang on.
I forget which local it was.
Well, I got one for you.
That's going to cause a lot of havoc.
Yes. Now, because of the temporary language, they have their own section in the national contract. I didn't get the opportunity this week to dig into the contract to see who goes first.
Low seniority.
No,
but you have
true.
Inverse seniority, and so your higher seniority could take the layoff.
If they did inverted seniority or inverted
yes,
layoff.
Yes, if they use inverse. They can high seniority can use inverse seniority.
But they said that article said it was an indefinite layoff, so you wouldn't offer an inverted layoff. You're cutting heads.
They're doing that. Yeah, they're doing that because these are permanent layoffs indefinitely, and also they said some of the full time temporary people will be staying because they have a full time job. That one just. If that's
exactly.
only the best taste in your people's mouth, something's wrong.
That's where I'm going with.
I think we got Brian. I think we got Brian on the line.
Hello, Don. Hello, everybody.
Hi,
hello,
Brian.
Hello,
Brian.
Adrian. Hey, Scott. And whoever
Jimmy?
Else is on.
Jimmy.
I don't know who's all on. How's everybody doing?
Well,
I'm doing better. Doing better than you. I'm not doing a great job.
He got it done, though. Got it done.
Yeah, got it done.
Seen that.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, that was General Holyfield is not from Local 412. That is Chrysler headquarters.
Okay.
So it's amalgamated local, but there's a lot of skilled trades and SBUs at the headquarters that fall under Local 412. And as far as the layoff that you guys were referring to, that is Local 1268. And my understanding is they gave the low seniority a choice to transfer, and now the top seniority people have nowhere to go.
Oh, wow. Oh. Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Jesus.
So I believe, I can't remember, I think that's Kokomo. But don't quote me on that.
So is that Ford or Chrysler then?
It's Chrysler.
Chrysler. Okay.
Did it state how many they would be laying off?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
But I know it's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember how many there were. But there's all kinds of things happening at that local, supposedly.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to say anything because, you know, I'm not from that local and I can't confirm it, but
maybe someone will come on the show tonight that's from there.
But like I said in the past, you know, all these locals, no matter what company you fall under, I think we all kind of share the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, we'll just have to see what happens, what takes place at this convention, and see when the elections are going to be held and see what people come out of the woodworks and decide they're going to run.
Exactly. We'll see who's going to retire, by the way.
All right.
Yeah. Well, from my understanding, somebody told me that Cindy Estrada, once she's retired, he's going to GM management or something of the sort. I don't know that to be fact, but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me with Joe Ashton, you know.
I was told she's going to take that seat on the board.
Yeah, wow. I heard something of the sort too. So.
Wow.
I'm as lucky as you, though. I haven't read that in ink or seen it set in concrete, but with these clowns, I'm sorry to say, nothing surprises me.
Right.
Well, that just tells me that she will definitely be giving up her union membership.
I'm going to say that I don't even believe that. I believe that's just a fail-safe. If they don't win at the convention, then her and Titus are going to retire, and I think you're going to see Terry also go on a platform somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, from my understanding, is Ray Curry's still going to continue to run, which surprises me, knowing with all the corruption and the collusion and the nepotism that he turned a blind eye to, and he took part in a lot of these concessionary contracts that he even thinks he's going to get the support from the membership.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
They got something up their sleeve, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, ain't nobody retiring until after the convention. They're doing a great word-of-mouth campaigning right now, because remember, right now, they're campaigning. And I don't care what anybody says. I got friends telling me that in my old plant, and I believe that. That is a political machine, a one-party system. I'm just waiting to see the rules on how they're going to let us contact this membership, because at my local, I can't even get on company property now. They put a stoplight and a gate right at the parking lot. You can't even get in nowhere now.
Wow.
Well, I know John Gunnan, he announced that he's running, and he was the former administrative assistant to, I think it was Nate Gooden.
You are correct.
So, I mean, I don't know why John would think that he would get any support either, knowing that he's part of the old caucus.
Did you ever meet, if it's the Nate I'm thinking that was a very big black man, he was a damn good man. He came from my, if it's the one I'm thinking of, he came from local 235 Chevrolet gear and axle. He was a hell of a union man, but man, it's got to be his son because Nate was 12 years older than me. When I ran for committee, man, he actually backed me from the region.
Well, I know Nate Gooden, his son, was a rep at the Solidarity House as well. So, but I don't know if that was, his name was Nate Jr. I can't remember.
Because I worked with his other brother, Benny, and I'll tell you what, Benny ran a tight rein, and he was another great man. I can fault none of them.
What position is Nate Gooden Jr. or Nate Gooden, what position is he running for?
What position did he have before?
Platform, that would be financial, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know what he's doing now. I haven't seen him in over a decade, so I have no idea.
But what I'm saying is,
That was his background, if that's what you're trying to get to. He was more of a financial guy in his background, if it's the same gentleman I'm thinking of.
Or are you talking about John Gunnan, Scott?
Yeah, I'm sorry, John Gunnan.
Yeah, he's running for UAW president.
He's running for president against Curry.
Yes.
And whoever else. Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing it to split the votes. I don't know what his intentions are, truthfully, but, you know, the fact that he was part of the old caucus, I mean, he would definitely not get my support.
Wow. Yeah, it'll be more interesting here soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, you know. You were with that caucus, and now all of a sudden you're going to run against them.
Yeah.
Well, I
all the
sounds like
Yeah, all the dirt you've done, all the dirt you've been a part of.
Could be some shenanigans going on there.
I got a lot of international staff retired that's trolling my page. They're out. They're doing whatever they can to discredit anybody that they think is going to run against Ray Curry.
Wow.
Exactly. Did any of you people get to see the report that Ox, I'm going to say it again, Oxfam put out about the minimum wage crisis in America?
Yes, I saw it this morning. It basically says that one-third of our American workers are at $15 or below, or $15 an hour.
Yep, and if you keep going, it'll also... Yeah, you're right. It's one-third of American families are working at jobs at less than $15 an hour, but women and people of color, that number jumps up a lot more dramatic. And that's disgraceful for me to repeat that. But, yeah, it jumps up to almost 40%, it said.
Let me get Paul, you're on with us.
Greetings, me personally. Rose.
Greetings. Well, that's really sad. That's really sad you got a third of the people here making less than $15 an hour. And all of these companies and corporations are just raking in so much money. I mean, the corporate greed is just unreal.
But that's the thing with minimum wage going up. That's why the big three is having such an issue hiring people, because nobody wants to go into these plants working 6-10s or 7-10s, not getting a break. They don't get the same benefits as the tier one workers. So, you know, a lot of people just don't want to put themselves in a situation where management does not know how to treat their employees with respect.
Or value their employees.
Right.
You
know, and go out and get benefits almost anywhere now.
Well, from my understanding, Chrysler's Detroit and Toledo transport drivers, I heard their tentative agreement was a good one. I heard their wages went up.
Okay.
I'm not for sure to how much, but I heard they made pretty good progress in their contract. So, I mean, even if we look back at John Deere, even though I wouldn't have ratified that tentative agreement per se, but the fact is, you know, their COLA was frozen, they lost their pensions, but even after, you know, after they ratified the agreement, they got COLA back, and they got they got post 97 pensions back, not pre 97, but post. So, I mean, that's a start, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to have to realize with inflation going up, minimum wage going up, they're going to have to start paying a lot better and start giving back some of the benefits that we've lost over the years in order to get these people back into these facilities.
This is true.
Exactly. I mean, like Shannon Jones put it in one article, why would a kid go into Lake Orion at $16, $17 bucks an hour, work his body to nothing, when he can go to the same thing, get the same thing at a, you know, at a hamburger joint, flipping burgers and looking at pretty girls all day long. I mean, think about it. You're wearing your body out. We all know it. I feel the aches and pains. I did it. I want to be rewarded. Our reward was always at the end. We had something called the defined pension, and I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I am a recipient of one. Take it, guys.
Yes, I agree. You know, like I said last week, if you bring a temporary in, and you bring him in and you pay him $16 an hour or whatever, just after state taxes, it's only like $380, $390 for 24 hours a week. And if they call you, let's say I'm scheduled to go to my other full-time job, and they call, and I need you to come in today because we're short-handed, and I say, well, I'm supposed to work in my other job here in just a few minutes, and they say, well, they could very well say, well, then you need to make a choice.
Well, this is the thing. I doubt they would do that because they're already having issues hiring people. And the thing that, you know, a lot of these temps, when they come in, you know, they're like, look, if you're not going to roll me over right away, then this job ain't worth it, because, you know, they're basically putting everything on the line by being a temp for 3 years. And if you get laid off within those 3 years, then you got to start from the beginning again. And the fact that these temps don't even get part of the profit sharing, you know, I mean, who wants to be a part of that and end up paying union dues and you have no rights and you don't get the benefits everybody else does, or the wages?
It's a disgrace that the union is bargaining a contract like that. They know the industry is cyclical, that there's booms and busts, and the chances of these temps getting laid off is very good.
And that's that's the other thing that they're doing. You know, they're using temps. They're putting them on full-time jobs to circumvent top seniority rights, because they're trying to push out the top seniority by pushing them on harder jobs.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
So,
Lawrence just tweeted me. Were you guys talking about local 1166 in Kokomo? Chrysler stamping or casting, Kokomo's casting, and Chrysler LLC.
I think that was it.
1166.
No, local 1268, but I can't remember what facility that is. It's somewhere in Illinois or Indiana, but I just can't remember. Oh, it's Belvedere. 1268 Belvedere, that's what it is.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you anyway, Lawrence.
My fault. It slipped my mind.
Belvedere, that's in Illinois. That's over by Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they just add a shift here not too long ago at Belvedere?
No, they got rid of two of the shifts, and they got it down to one shift, and I believe they even cut the day shift in half.
Wow.
Why am I thinking that's JJ's old plant?
No, John Barbosa. You talk about John Barbosa?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, he's at the engine plant there in Dundee Engine.
No, he left there.
No, he's transferred. He's somewhere else as a journeyman now or whatever. Actually, he's
still trades.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I haven't talked to him in quite some time.
313, you're on.
Hello? 313?
Hello?
He might be working, guys. He might be working.
No.
You know I am.
There you go.
Glad you can make it, Mr. Keller. Always appreciate it when you make it to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so this last week, seeing how we got baseball again, and not all would say baseball this week, I'll throw out one of Don's favorite, curveball. Wednesday, they rolled out, we have a tentative living local agreement at my local. And we start voting on it Thursday morning at 6 a.m.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. They did roll out me all day Thursday. Basically, here's your roll out, and I'll go vote.
me damn.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
And how long have you been without a local agreement?
Just before the contract. The national. Almost
2019.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. And then because they announced that they were going back to the contract just before the strike, and then the strike happened. So they've been negotiating for 3 years, and you get less than 24 hours to think about what's in the contract before you go vote. Now, the part that's disheartening, and I'd hate to pull it up to read the full language, but here's a scenario. Paul, you're going to love this one. If I want a bid to a preferred job, which usually means more money, usually, or a job that's not as physically demanding, I now must go before a selection committee.
Oh.
I have to take a test.
Oh, no.
And we're going to use mechanical repair as one of them. And in that testing area, we're going to look for credentials. We're going to look at what you do at the plant, what you do outside of the plant. We're also going to look and see how much time you volunteer outside the plant.
Volunteer?
Oh, yeah.
What that got to
yes,
do with
ma'am.
What, okay. Mm-hmm.
And now it gets better. Now, in the black and white language, I have not found it yet. It says here. I've looked a couple of times now. Nor does it say seniority.
Does it mention they'll take into account who you're related to and friends with?
No, it doesn't say that.
That's not exactly spelled out, eh?
You got your national agreement in front of you? I'd like to read 63A. Because if they haven't changed the language in 63A, they can shove that right up their hairy ass.
And I tried, and you know that I did. Anybody that was involved in union was down in my neck of the woods. I hit him with that. I hit him with both. 63A and paragraph 220. 63A, I'll paraphrase it. Where merit and capacity are equal, seniority shall be the overriding priority. Overriding priority. Seniority. Paragraph 220 also says no local shall supersede the national agreement.
Thank you. Also says that is to better yourself and your job, so you're looking for an improved job. So what the hell doesn't say anything about if I'm doing voluntary work at a drug rehab center or anything, does it?
No, but what it does do is a few of the people who have some time, plus we talked about this, and this is our opinion, and I say this is fact, it's opinion, that this looks like a very good opportunity to select a few people that you would prefer to have back there.
Yeah.
Well, who selects the selection committee?
Steve Dodds and his
cocksucker. And it doesn't say who the selection committee is.
In our plant, Scott, who does all the volunteer get-togethers? There's one person, Pee-wee. And I bet you Pee-wee had that put in there.
Yeah.
Got all the awards.
Actually, it's illegal. If it's against the national contract, you can't even vote on it.
And why don't you file an Article 45, Section 3 charges on your leadership?
It passed barly. 52.4%.
Even if it passes, it doesn't matter. It's in violation.
It's in violation, right. It can't be in violation of the national agreement.
That's right. So you can bring up charges on your local leadership for that.
I would agree with that, but understand, every local agreement has to be vetted through Solidarity House, doesn't it?
Irregardless, it's still in violation.
Right.
It cannot stand. I don't care who vets it.
That's why
I
would push the Articles 45 on your leadership, me personally.
Has it even been voted on yet? I thought, Scott, you said it was up for vote.
No, it's already voted. It's already passed. Present it on Wednesday and start voting
on
Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Till Friday morning, 6 a.m.
The hell voted for that?
Jeez. Who counted the vote?
That was a few questions, too.
That's why it ain't just about reforming the international leadership. We also have to reform the delegate system and the election committees on a local level.
That's correct.
Yes.
If there's anything I learned from this show is that our international is grooming our locals to take on an international role. So why wouldn't they be as corrupt as national?
Well, they they wouldn't be able to stomach moving up to international.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's never taken an oath as an elected officer. As soon as you take your oath at your local, you're screwed right then and there because your hands are tied. You have to support the international regardless what your true feeling is what they told
correct.
Me.
Well,
yes,
I mean,
that is correct.
I believe, I mean, you can still file charges with the Department of Labor, and that's the problem. Nobody's doing that.
Right.
To sit there and say that we have to comply and submit to the Solidarity House, that's bullshit. Because I have never complied or submitted myself to them, and I never will.
So
why everybody else feels
so hard for one member, one vote, people, wake the hell up.
Yeah, well, that's
well,
it. We got
the
one member, one vote. The
thing is, these people aren't forced to submit. They voluntarily do so because they want to feed at the trough.
But
you have to be part of the team if you want to move up.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to throw stones, you can be like us.
Yeah,
but
that's what they tell me, Paul.
If you want to feed at the trough, you have to do as you're told.
But you don't have to submit to a caucus. You're submitting to the Constitution.
Sure.
When you take that oath, not to people.
And I've always said that the like-minded union brothers and sisters need to organize and get out in front of that Solidarity House and in front of these regions and let them know. It's the body of the union, the membership, that has the power. We can't sit there and sit back and just sit idle while the leadership is taking advantage of us and they're intertwined with the very companies we work for. And we know this because they negotiated to get rid of pensions time and a half after eight, COLA. They outsource departments. They agreed to have GM and Chrysler stock during a bankruptcy. They took over the health care for the retirees. They took COLA and the Christmas bonus from the retirees. They agreed to a tier and a temp system. When is the membership going to understand that the leadership is undermining the membership? They're playing us like fools, and we have to organize because the only thing that stands between us and these companies is our leadership. And if we don't confront them and tell them we're the body of this union, we pay you for fair, just representation, we have to confront the issue, and the issue is the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But until people get together and do that, they're just going to keep taking the free lunch.
Well, it doesn't come free. You got to sell your soul.
okay, they don't care about selling their souls.
No, they don't.
They don't.
But there's,
you know,
they might
sell,
be selling their
you
souls.
You don't sell your first one either.
They're living life off the backs of us. I can tell you that.
They're living large.
Well, we are largely living, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And just like with Local 412, when you look at, what was
Edmonds.
His name? Tim Edmonds.
Edmonds.
You know, when the feds hit these indictments at the Solidarity House, they should have took that investigation all the way down to every single local.
Yep.
Because how do you steal $2 million without the president, the vice president, the chairman, or anybody else knowing?
How do you do it without the trustees knowing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big question for me. What have UAW trustees been doing the last few years, local, international? Yeah, how's this crap go on?
They just sign stuff because they put things in front of them. They say, sign this, they sign it.
But,
and
no,
you're right.
But they do
but
audit.
The problem is anytime you call a rep, whether it's your president, your chair, your steward, your EAP rep, your attendance rep, you can't get a hold of nobody. Even when you call the Solidarity House, you can't get a hold of nobody.
Yeah, but
so,
what I mean, these trustees do audits.
Yep.
You know, how do you miss
$2
million? Is there that much money laying around in the UAW coffers?
My point is you can't get a hold of nobody because nobody's doing their job.
Well, I'm just talking about the trustees specifically. You know, they're supposed to be there to safeguard, you know, the locals' finances, for one thing. They do an audit. How do you miss $2 million?
They're getting
the
perks,
the trustees,
but they're not doing the job.
The trustees need to be brought up on charges. I've been talking about that for a long time.
They could probably be brought up on criminal charges because they have a duty. I mean,
fiduciary duty.
Yeah, I can see them missing, you know, a little bit here and there, but my understanding is they do an extensive audit. And on top of that, doesn't the UAW hire outside auditing companies?
Well, that's the problem.
How do they
right
miss
there?
$2 million?
The problem,
because they go
one of
the
problems is that you have trustees in there that don't know how to do an audit. That's one of the highlights for the people that's doing wrong.
Well, not just that. You got the local 412. Nobody has brought those people up on charges. The international didn't bring those trustees up on charges. And the feds didn't even investigate the trustees.
The international didn't even bring their own trustees up on charges.
Right.
There are so many people in the UAW that know the dirt on each other. Nobody's going to make a move.
Right.
Because if you bring me up on charges, I'll bring you up on charges. If you squeal to the feds about what I did, I'll squeal to the feds on what you did. You know, it's so utterly corrupt that that's the problem. Nobody's going to squeal.
Until they're indicted, then they'll squeal
on somebody.
You're right if you think about that, because Rory Gamble said, no, I ain't going to squeal on Ray Curley because Ray Curley ain't going to squeal on Rory because look where he went. Now the next person in line is going to feel the same way. It's like that never-ending elevator that we talk about.
Yeah, but if you look at it, when James Hardy got busted selling two-tier jobs, he sure in the hell, he narked out General Holyfield for doing the same thing. And that's when all that corruption started coming out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't stop Ray Curry from snitching. I'm sorry, not Ray Curry, but James Hardy.
But the other part of it is the feds. When the feds went in there, they're supposed to be looking at everybody up there.
Well, not
all
just
way
that.
Down.
What about the federal oversight? Why did the federal oversight go after them?
JJ, you're on.
It's
another question I had, Brian, excuse me, and I brought it up with Scott. It's right when all this first started going down, a buttload of money came back from the international to the local, and the international regional told the locals, stop sending your dues money to Detroit. At that time, my local had over $2 billion in their local account, and I thought we were swinging high and mighty, but then Mr. Shingledecker informed me how much money they had over there. What is it, at 598? Hell, they made me feel like I was on poverty level. I needed a goddamn food stamp card. There ain't no reason they should be able to move that kind of money back and forth between the local, the region, and the international. Hell, I don't think they know how much money's in all this shit.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes down to these LM2 forms, they're not broke down. They're not itemized the way they should be itemized. So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard for these people to call it union business, and they're getting paid when they shouldn't be getting paid. But, you know, it's kind of hard to prove that they're not on union business. I mean, because people just don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
Hanline almost had a heart attack at Christmas when he found out not only was Norwood on the last LM2, but so was Grimes. What the hell are we still paying them two clowns a pension and
Bob King's on there?
Because they were the first to roll over. So the feds are protecting them.
We have, if we don't go longer, we have about 15, 16 minutes left in tonight's show. And if you want to join the show, please press 1. Okay, continue. I didn't mean to stop a conversation.
But that's the thing with the LM2s. They have to be properly itemized, and they're not. And until the membership, you know, like I said, until the membership decide they're going to organize against the leadership that caused us to go from 1.5 million auto workers to 150,000, with all the corruption, the collusion, the nepotism, and the concessionary contract, we're going to continue to go down this path until there's no union. So the members of the
right. Hold on, guys. Hold on.
If I drag Baxter and Shingledecker with me, will you meet with me in Detroit? You got to grab
Absolutely. That
old girl beside you, Adrian, though. I want her presence.
248.
You got to get together and talk a plan.
Area code 248 and 734. I said you guys are on, or ladies, whoever. You be on.
Yeah, if you want to.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's Beth Morrow. I'm from Romulus, GM Romulus. And I finally had opportunity to figure out how to get on the show because every time I'm working third shift, I get a notice like 10, 12 hours later that the show was on. And I put a couple comments in there, but I wanted to try to get on and talk to y'all. But the one thing that that I wanted to discuss is everybody talks about organizing and getting things together, but I really don't see anybody trying to organize and get down in front of the Solidarity House.
Well, I could tell you, and this is Brian Keller speaking, I could tell you I've organized many protests out in front of the Solidarity House, even at the Labor Day parade, and I would just get a handful of people that would show up.
Hi, Brian. Yeah.
Hello.
No, I know. Yes, I know that's, but nothing's happened lately, and I was really hoping that we could come together and organize something, and I know you don't want to do it single-handedly, but I'm back to Michigan. I got back to Michigan back in October of 2020. I went from Fort Wayne back to Romulus. I finally got up to Michigan after being stuck down in Indiana for 11 years. And just a quick comment, because I just got on when you guys were talking, and I think John Barboza's at my plant. I think he's at 163 now. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's there. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, though.
You said, that's Romulus is GM.
Yes, Romulus GM.
Yeah,
Power
JJ
Train.
Works for Chrysler.
Oh, does he? Yeah. I thought John Barbosa was at my plant.
Yeah, he's
reason.
At
he
might be talking
yeah,
about, what's his name, Brian? What's his name? He was going to...
Daniel Ryder is at Romulus.
Yeah, I know who Daniel Ryder is, yeah.
Well, he set up a protest.
I can't think of the other guy. The guy
he set up a protest during
Rockers.
The strike. Down in front of, down at the Rensim.
Yeah, but it would be really nice to see us come up with a date or a time and really gather and express our concerns in front of the Solidarity House. I'd love to see that happen. However, it can't be done single-handedly.
Well, I can tell you right now, because of the convention coming up, that would be the best time to do it, is at the convention where the delegates are at.
Right.
That's a good
right.
I'd like to say everybody on this show that's thinking of running for delegate better get their thoughts down on paper now, because Jim is right. They've been out campaigning for months. They got all their talking points from the National Union. They'll run a whisper campaign because they can't put out literature that would really appeal to the membership. Because almost all these local leaders are solidly behind the current Solidarity House leadership, because that's their key to getting in the trough themselves. And they don't have a record they can stand on or campaign on. They can't put positions out in the plant that on paper that people would agree with, because the policies of the UAW are total crap. Our Constitution says that the purpose of the union is to fight for better working conditions, wages, and job security. Instead, they bought into continuous improvement and the idea that they have to help management run an efficient operation and make more money. And our national contracts basically supersede our Constitution, is what it boils down to. Our Constitution says one thing and our agreements with management say something else. So these people can't go out and sell themselves on paper. They're out there cutting down the people who plan to run. They talk about issues that are total crap to basically get people's eyes off what's going on around them. So you better be ready, because regardless
of
when they
ready.
Pull this,
I'm ready.
You got to have
gonna,
it together.
I'm going to be running for a constitutional.
Well, thank you.
I already got my paperwork ready.
Good.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
May I make a suggestion? I have a page that's called Solidarity Sunday Zone 1. I would like for any person to put something on the page that says that you're running for delegate or you're running for the election committee. You can go there and put your credentials there. I'm allowing that to happen because we don't know what they're trying to do. One time you couldn't even put stuff out in the plant. So we have to be able to use other methods.
Yeah.
So social media would be a good method.
What bothers me is if they can sit there and allow you to vote on the international contract or the local contract inside the plant, they should allow you to be able to campaign at the plant as well, as long as you're not doing it on company hours and people are coming through the gate. There shouldn't be an issue with that.
Right.
Because about a time, you weren't allowed to vote on company premises. They would always rent a U-Haul truck, and it'd be out in the parking lot somewhere, and you would just show up at that truck, or you'd show up at the local and vote.
Well, one thing you can be sure of, management's going to give these people as much help as they can give them without getting in legal trouble, because Management has the best money that joint funds can buy, and they want to keep the people in power they have right now. They want a union that's soft at the bargaining table, and that's what they have.
No doubt about that.
And they want to keep that. And my personal experience is they find ways to hinder the opposition candidates.
And people got to understand, you look at these are global companies making global profits. You've seen how much they've made.
Yep.
You've seen how much in concessions we've taken.
Yep.
And the fact that the leadership has basically undermined the membership decade after decade, and we keep losing and losing.
Sure.
The union leadership no longer supports equality. They're divisive. They're undermining.
Yep.
And the only one that's getting their pockets lined is the companies, management, the shareholders, and the Solidarity House leadership.
And their tentacles reach down into the locals. We have a massive appointed bureaucracy. You know, companies used to build profits by increasing their market share. General Motors' market share has gone from 50% down to, 17%? They still made $10.6 billion. Now they figure the best way to make money is not to fight for market share, but to just extract concessions from our union leadership.
Eliminate jobs.
It's a lot easier. If you can convince the union to work your people for $15 an hour instead of $30, that's massive savings.
The union can brag about the John Deere contract, but did you people see what John Deere reported for their last quarterly profits? Come on, people. Come on. They made, I mean,
they're telling us that we have to be viable and competitive with foreign labor markets. They're shipping jobs out of the country. They're cutting our wages and benefits. So, I mean, it's obvious if you keep voting the same caucus back in, or the same local leadership, or the same delegates, or the same people on the election committee, you're going to get the same screwed up results. So your best idea this next convention, when they have the elections, is to reform the leadership from the top all the way down. That includes the delegates. That includes those on the election committee. Because if you don't reform them, then you're going to continue down this path. Don't listen to
the local
leadership.
And that includes our local.
Don't listen to the local leadership.
Right.
Don, check your messages.
Well, yeah.
But that's true. I mean, you got to start at your local as well. You got to change your local because, like I said, but it's not one step. It's every step, as Brian just told you. More importantly, I want to go to the convention this year as a UAW retiree, and I'm going to go. Hopefully they'll let me sit in, what do they call it, the bleachers. I've been told they're not going to have that this year, but they're going to have to tell me to my face I can't walk into that mother. I paid dues for 42 years. I'm getting in.
Well, they're not going to have it that this year. They're doing that. They're trying to suppress the membership. They're trying to keep that caucus into play.
Exactly.
You got to have a gallery.
The Miss, I don't
Why
know what her name is. I'm sorry, I don't know what your name is, Miss Romulus. I'm going to call you that. I know that you wanted to speak. Please say something now.
It's Beth Morrow, and that I just got into this plant not too long ago. There's a hunger for change, and I'm not afraid to stand up, and I'm going to be running for the Constitutional Convention. I've got my paperwork ready. I got my stuff ready to go roll out. It's just I'm waiting for the call letter, and I'm waiting for the nominations to be coming up. I have called the local. They still haven't put anything out for us to run. But I definitely am going to try to make a change because there's a hunger for it, and there's a lot of green people at our plant that just don't understand what's going on, but they do want to support change.
Your GM, what plant over there in Romulus? What one did you say?
We're GM of powertrain.
You're an engine okay. plant?
Yes. Engine and, it's engine and transmission.
Yeah. There was some Holyfields that left from my local over there and got in power, and hell, even one of my old buddies wound up being the president over there, Dan McCarthy. I believe Dan has passed away now, but yeah, I understand where you're at.
Yeah, our recent president just got appointed to international along with the trustee, so we had recent elections at the end of last year to replace a few of them people. However, I know just being on the floor and talking to people, there's such a hunger for change, and I'm pretty open and vocal and try to educate people from what I'm hearing and what I'm finding out. So I try to put that on the floor, and people are very receptive.
You said you're on Facebook. I run a page called We Are the Workers. Scott has Workers, Workplaces, and Unions. Please join our pages. I would like to talk to you on another formal level other than on this show because
yes,
you're very
absolutely.
I love your hunger that I detect in your voice, and I'm going to leave it at that. Take it away, guys.
Yeah, can you please repeat the sites that you are on because I don't believe I've seen run across those.
We
Mine
the workers.
Is, go ahead.
We the workers. That's Jimmy's page. And also workers, workforces, and unions. And then Adrian said Solidarity Sunday Zone 1.
And don't
wait a
forget
minute, Scott. You said workforces. I thought it was
workplaces. It's workplaces.
I'm sorry, workplaces. Tired.
Go with the other one. I'll get you first. Oh, I'm sorry.
Workers, workplaces, workers, workplaces, and unions.
Okay,
and
Jason, also,
and we got to thank Jason Castleman who put together a Facebook page for the show.
UAW Factory Whistle Show. That would be the name of it, Scott.
That's cool. Right. I got to join that, Scott. Don.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yep. And
Jason, we're going to 8:30, and it's a hard out at 8:30 because I have to be on another show.
And I want to also let you know that other guy you're talking to, that Brian Keller, do you have his page? He's got a page, too. You should hear it. Go ahead, give it to him.
Real talk? Oh, wait a minute. Brian, which one can she join? Because you got two.
Yeah. She's on my page already, but it's UAW. Real Talk, GM Ford, FCA, and then I have UAW Real Talk, GM Ford, FCA group page.
You get to see a smiling face. Good morning. Good morning, my union brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I've been on
it. I wouldn't miss that bald-headed freak for nothing.
Yeah, now you say that. I don't see you saying good morning, Don.
No, I'm saying good morning, all right, but not very nice.
He's going to get out of him as
he's saying it with his middle finger.
Today.
That's right.
He's saying it with his middle finger with the coffee cup in his hand.
You're damn right. Have fun at work. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Have fun.
But again, Brian, I think you got a very good idea about at the convention would be maybe a little late, maybe, I don't know, but we need to get together like the young lady said and let these people know that, hey, you know, you're supposed to be working for us.
I mean, we got 4 months to organize this. What better time to do it is during the convention to put pressure on those delegates and make sure that they represent their local membership.
Right.
And we can be in there in the gallery and listen to what they do. You know, let's let them drink the Kool-Aid. And I got my tape recorder. They can't stop me from taking that because that's already proven to be true, you know.
We normally we were doing Facebook Lives from the convention in 2018.
Yes, we were.
I saw that.
We were doing a show from the strike line. So, yeah, I see. I can't see why you couldn't. You can be our reporter.
But if you guys want to do this, I mean, let's put it together off the show. We can all discuss and meet up somewhere and put this together and make it happen. We got enough pages to where we can post that information up and reach enough people. Hopefully we get enough support.
I'm game, Mom.
Absolutely.
I'm game for that.
Me too. I was just hoping that would happen. I know. I have listened to Brian a lot of times, even when he's gone on live, and he always talks about organizing. It's like, I hate to say this, but I didn't know where to begin just coming back up to Michigan. But I think Brian has enough leverage that if he kickstarts something, not saying that I want to put the ball in your court, but he does have a lot of followers that we could get something going.
Well,
we
I don't have a
good thing going for a while, Brian, and then we backed off because the timing was just wrong. If we could get those rebel rises in a hell of a lot more, let's do it.
I don't have a problem with that. I just would like to have everybody that's on the show have a decision, you know, be part of the decision-making in this, and we all do this together. You know, I don't want to be just the main one leading this. I want to have it a joint, if you want to say, joint venture between the membership to put this together.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I didn't want to throw the ball in your court, but we got to start somewhere, and if we can get the ball rolling and all come together, that would be great.
And that's another thing I want to bring up.
Can you join me on that? Shingledecker, can you join me on that? Baxter can.
Yeah.
Now there's... What are you, Paul? Open your mouthpiece.
Yes, I can. You hear me that time?
What's that?
I was asking Paul Baxter, but I guess he might have left us already.
No, Paul's here. Paul's here.
All right,
you
well,
got me.
There's me and Paul. This young lady, I think you can get Adrian. I know you're in. Hell, all I got to do is offer I'm going to buy you a beer after you bail my ass out of jail, so we're good.
Don, am I on?
It's our concerted protected activity. We have a right to do this.
Is that you, Carrie?
Yes, it is. Hi, everybody.
Oh,
there's that,
Carrie.
Hey, I'm going to get Carrie to join you, too.
Hi, and welcome. Our new voice. I love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Very nice. Very nice. Hear somebody different. That is
Scott. Well, you know what that means. Yes. Don's not going to say it. So we kind of expect to see you on next week's show now.
Right. Well, we still haven't got Grandpa. Grandpa, are you in on this? I'm talking to you, Couch.
What did I say? What? Hello? Hold on, somebody's sending me.
It's me. It's me, Adrian.
Oh, yeah.
It was something we were supposed to do tonight.
Was it?
Oh. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to go with that
just
other
send it through text.
Okay.
Just finish
the text. I'm going, who in the hell is texting me with that? Area code. I know.
So
you're like 15.
Are you in?
15,
are you in for going to the convention and doing a, you know,
let's
our
do
civil
it.
Rights?
Let's get it done. Please. Okay, I got you.
Okay, so Jim, if you don't mind, give me a call after the show.
What do you want me to call you?
Whatever you want.
There you go with the
job. Not about a break job. Not about a break job.
Just
I guarantee you that.
Just
you won't be the first one, trust me.
Peace, brother. I'll talk to you.
So who's the convention this year? I forgot.
The convention?
You want to know when the convention is. I think that's
the 25th. It starts on the 25th of July.
To the 28th, right?
25th to the 28th or 29th, something like that.
After 598 that crap of a contract, I can't believe they went for that. It just disappoints me.
I mean, people got to realize, you know, with these companies being global, these joint ventures and team concept has done nothing to benefit the membership. And
right.
The solidarity houses intertwine themselves with the very companies we work for. If we don't start making these reforms now, when we have the opportunity with the direct voting, then you guys are going to miss the window and we'll never reform this union ever. Keep that in mind.
This is the perfect opportunity for us to get on board and get the change done at the first go ahead.
I agree.
With this convention and this one member, one vote, this is our perfect opportunity to jump in with both feet and get the change done.
A reset.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what I have on my flyer. As part of that, I have got my flyer almost ready to go, and I have time for a reset. Yeah, absolutely. That's my motto.
Good motto.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
I had it written down for about a month already. I got my flyer almost ready to go. I'm just waiting to nominations come out and get my name out there.
Very good.
To quote George W. Bush Sr., no more status quo. Right?
Yeah.
No more the same. No more saying the same. Gotta go.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have used him, though.
Yeah.
I know, but
right.
It's just it's his quote, though. That's what I'm taking. No more status quo.
Yeah. Right. It's time to take the bull by the horns, and that's because this change has got to take place. I'm a fourth-generation UAW member, and my grandfather was one of the very first millwrights at Willie's Jeep in Toledo. And I'm not going to – I've been through the whole thing with you my whole life with family. So I hate to see this fall apart now.
Yeah, the wheels have slowly been coming off for the last 40
years.
Yeah.
It's been falling apart for 40 years, bit by bit. Don't underestimate the power of machine politics. You know, these people have been failing the membership for 40 years, and they've still gotten reelected. And you have to be very persistent to get rid of them.
Well, the persistence right here.
Right.
I know there's a wise old fool above us right now jumping up and down saying, go Mary and go Harry Hubcap. That's the membership, and that's what Brother Danjan used to call every one of us, and it's going to take every one of us to get up and go do this. Thank you, and I will talk to you, Brian.
All right.
There you go. So, you know, Adrian, would you like to take the lead and pick up what we were supposed to talk about?
Well, I take lead on what now?
What we were supposed to talk about. Weren't we supposed to pick up something from last week? I'm forgetting.
I don't know. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were.
Now you know this old lady is old. And I didn't write no notes down.
Okay,
I know. Good.
Well, we covered the importance of delegates. That's a deficit.
I think that's what we were supposed to mainly talk about was the delegates and the election committee.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's something. I agree. Was it Beth from Romulus?
What's
you're
that?
The there? You're the youngest.
I'm
still
here.
Me.
It was Beth, right?
Yes, Beth Morrow.
Okay, Beth. Yeah, you know, Beth's doing something that all of us have done at one time or another. She's going to step up to play and take a swing at this thing. And Beth, we'd like to hear from you next week if you can make time in your schedule.
Yes, sure.
We're here to keep everybody pumped up on this whole thing. It's a time that people need to realize we need to first send the correct delegates to the convention for not just one member, one vote, but your delegates are also the ones that go to the special bargaining committee.
Yeah, special bargaining convention.
Yes, and that's just as important.
Yes.
Because they go through all the ideas that the locals have brought down to Solidarity House. Ones like COLA, annual wage agreement, the stuff that's got real meat on the bones, them get voted out right off the get-go. You know, because we don't want to, you know, hamper the corporate team members, as Curry would say. Our own president of the UAW said that we're business partners with these guys. No, we're not. You know, it's very important. Start with the delegates, then go with the one member one vote, and then usually sometime afterwards, then we're going to start talking about, like, Brian and Paul, Jimmy and Adrian Faye, and Don. Then you start working, trying to clean the locals up. If you can clean up the one member one vote in the Solidarity House, you got a chance of cleaning up the regionals. Then you still have to go back to your own plant and get those cleaned up. There are some good chairmen out there. There are. There are some good people out there yet. There really is. But
well,
they're
I
really
do,
outnumbered.
I really got to tell you this. Our local won the one member, one vote by 69%. However,
awesome.
I don't think our leadership was in favor of it.
No, they wouldn't have been.
And I'm going to say this about when it comes down to the local leadership. If your local leadership, whether it be the steward, the chair, the president, whatever, if they're not willing to speak out against the corruption, the collusion, the nepotism, and bargaining our contracts in bad faith, and they're supporting and pushing these concessionary contracts, they're not good elected officials.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
Brian, I found something, and it's actually in Dick's hand. It says election platform for 2017. No more corruption cover-ups and no more concessions. No more cover-ups on any corruption. And he's got these in bullets. Number two, end all tears in the UAW. Number three, reverse past concessions and get back what we have given away. Number four, justice for retirees and restore a pension plan for all that pay dues. That's very real. Number five, build solidarity in our diverse unions. Six, new organization to build stronger contracts and teach them how to bargain for such. Seven, build a more democratic membership and run for an office. Number eight, and he's got three bullets here. Educate the membership and the community. I mean, if we can ever do that, do you realize how strong and great we really could be?
Well, and Dick knew it. I mean, that's common sense. I mean, that's a given, right? I mean, everybody in the union should know that.
Amen. I'll walk with you any day of the week. You know it, and I know a lot of us will. I was just worried about, like I said, I had to make sure Couch was going to come, because if I had to stop and pick him up, I'd do that. You know, I got a pretty fast wheelchair anymore.
Aren't we funny? Aren't we funny?
Oh, I got...
And I'll pick some...
Forget the wheelchair, just give him the blue pill.
Okay,
I can pick up some cans of oxygen.
Yes. 313.
I mean,
it's a good spot for me. So you're offering me a blue pill for my wheelchair? Oh, I'll think about this.
Oh, yeah.
No, I said you don't need a wheelchair for Don to get him up. You just need a blue pill.
He needs to go back to work.
this is a serious joke. In 93, right. I believe it was, or right in that time frame when we were bargaining agreements, I was an elected officer in Detroit for GM, but Ford was the, back then when they were, we had lead plants and then the packaging bargaining, Ford somehow bargained the pump for males that were empty. And they got it. But we didn't get it at GM and Chrysler, and I was out at the Region 1C, I believe that is, out on 13 Mile, and one of the guys goes, you can sure tell these guys from Ford. He goes, what? He says, yeah, they're hitting their belly button all the time. They want to keep that son of a bitch up.
Wow. There we go. A little too much on that one, but I'm sure it's true. You know, back
it's just
in the
you
day,
GM guys, you're just not hard as a rock anymore.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say something here. This last week was a tornado. This poor young kid was driving his Chevy pickup truck through the tornado, turned around, come back out, and he kept on driving. I didn't see the Ford go through the tornado.
Burning rubber. GM's actually buying that truck back from. Did you see that? Or no, that's a Ford they got. That was a Ford, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a Chevy Silverado.
They're buying the truck back, whoever it was.
They delivered his family a new truck yesterday.
Right on.
So this guy gets rewarded for recovering from a blowjob? Well, I want my truck, too.
Wow.
I don't do that at Ford.
Yeah, because you don't reward a guy for taking a blowjob, but you do it at GM, because being like a rock is a thing for bass.
What the hell?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't want to know what he said.
You know, you got the button there in front of you, Don.
Yeah.
See how you are, Don? That's what you got to resort to, is tyranny. To silence me.
The Russians did it.
Yes. The Russians.
Anyway, let's get back where we're at here. So, the convention, the one member, one vote, locals, I mean, got to take baby steps. First thing is Constitutional Convention. We'll go from there. Right?
I think you told me the date, but where was it at?
In what?
Actually, people.
Where is the convention at?
You need to run for a delegate to go to the convention. Don't let them send the next ass clowns. You make up your mind now. Some plants are having new elections, so you're getting a chance to send a different delegate. If you're one of them locals and have the opportunity to send a different person, I would strongly suggest that.
Is the convention being held at Cobo again?
Yeah.
I believe so. There you go.
Well, it's called something else now. What is it? TL? What is
TF Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm y'all, over. I gotta go. It was good talking to you, and I hope to be on next week. I've got to get ready for work tonight.
Okay.
Thank you. We're here every Sunday. It was a pleasure to have you. God bless.
Yeah. Yes,
it was good to have you,
Beth. I'm a third shifter, so I'm kind of out of the loop a little bit, so I'm trying to stay in the loop.
I understand that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, good
thank
you
for everything. And I hope to talk to you next week. Yes, thanks so much. Have a good night, and I hope to talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Bye. All righty, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We got 10 minutes.
Boy, got quiet.
Well, if nobody's going to say that, I'll just continue to make fun of Don.
Well, you're the first one.
Don't make fun of Don.
I got the mute button, Buster.
Uh-oh.
I got the...
Tyranny!
Tyranny speaks.
Somebody at 600 ought to pay attention to what that man's doing on his job. Local.
Funny you should say...
Go ahead, Scotty.
Funny you should say something about a mute button. Solidarity House has been having us on a mute button for the last 25 years.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. If we put this and organize this protest out in front of the convention, we need everybody involved. Remember, retirees have not seen the increase in their pension in quite some time. They lost COLA and the Christmas bonus. Two-tier does not get health care or a pension. Temps do not get nothing, no rights. They don't get no profit sharing. And all active workers have lost the Christmas bonus. They've lost COLA. They've lost time and a half after eight. They lost the job bank. I mean, we've lost so many things that everybody, for this to work, you're going to have to get involved in helping reform this union by putting pressure on the delegate, on the leadership, because this is the only way we're going to do this.
Yep. I agree.
So if everybody can remember what we've lost and what we share in common and what we're trying to gain, we shouldn't have a problem with people not showing up. Everybody should be there.
This is true.
I mean, because like I've said before, one person cannot change this union by themselves. It's going to take everybody, the majority of every member, to get involved in this.
Yes.
This ain't about Democrats. It ain't about Republicans. This is about our union being deteriorated from within.
Absolutely.
Being undermined by our leadership, being played. You got to remember, like I've said before, 1979, we had 1.5 million auto workers. Today, we have 150,000. And we had Ron Gettelfinger selected Bob King. Bob King selected Dennis Williams. Dennis Williams selected Gary Jones. But those two are behind bars. And all the rest of them just turned a blind eye to the corruption. And the team concept and the joint ventures has done nothing for the membership. So the time is now. We have the direct vote. The membership has no excuses not to to show up to help reform this union.
Right. And local 1264 is Sterling Heights. It's Sterling Heights stamping plant for Chrysler.
That's the other one, but you also have Belvedere.
We got another call. 810, you're on. This one.
Hello, 810.
Hello.
Hello.
No.
I did see where did you see that bullshit going on in Tennessee with the Ford plant where the Ford in Tennessee, they said they'll back up on that if the client, how did they word this? The state of Tennessee could scale back its financial oversight of a majority black town near the state site for a planned Ford truck site
if it meets certain goals by the summer. And that move comes after a takeover drew national attention because the Tennessee comptroller was playing a different game. He wanted it to go somewhere else, it sounds like. So, God, I hope they, you know, but how can you do that? They're going to, now they're going to give it to them totally tax-free. I mean, where's the playing field level for the other states? I understand that they're using color within their own state, but now they're even going crazier within their own state.
Well, what did I always say? When they're getting local, state, and federal tax abatements, and they're killing off the middle class by cutting our wages and benefits, you're not going to sustain a healthy economy.
Here, here.
Right. 810, you called in. You've got something to say. You got about 4 minutes to say it. You just got to jump in, 810. I'm going to put you back on mute.
Yeah, so 1264 is Sterling Heights. And then you had 1268, which is Belvedere.
Okay. I didn't know anything about the Belvedere plant doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, these are going to start the 28th.
And from my understanding, the people that got transferred to these other states into these other facilities, from what I'm being told by a lot of them, they're going to take the relocation money, and when they get that last check, they're quitting. and the big three's already having a problem keeping employees or hiring employees.
Right. Wow.
And we're still having a problem getting semiconductors. So, I mean, you know there's going to be more layoffs. And that's going to affect your profit sharing.
Right.
So people need to realize that next year, if you got laid off this year because of shortage of parts or because of COVID, imagine what next year is going to bring. So you better think about that, because we all need to get involved in reforming this union.
Right.
Maybe we should go 1 more week. That would help me see if Ashley can.
What's that?
Yeah, what was that?
It was over the date I just committed to for the convention. I'm changing plans. Sorry, I didn't realize I wasn't on mute.
That's okay. We're about to be on mute here real quick anyway.
I want to get more participation. Please call in. And hey, for all you people that didn't push one on the switchboard, please, next time do.
Yeah.
You can call in anonymous. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to.
That's right.
No.
So if you got something to say and you got proof, feel free to call in. You don't have to give your name. Ain't nobody going to know who you are. We're not going to pressure you to give your name up or your local.
Unless you sound like Froggy. Oh, well, you know what? It has been real, and it has been real fun. It was a good show. Brian, thanks for calling in, man. We enjoy you having it around here.
I appreciate that. You guys handle things good without me, and I don't feel that, you know, I need to be on all the time. And you guys, you know, you guys been doing this, what, 15, 16 years now on the show?
And
yeah,
17.
Don't remind Don. He gets depressed.
17.
He said he'd let you off, what, once a month?
Baseball, baby.
All right, brothers and sisters.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. I guess it's time to say goodnight. There you go.
Good night,
Paul. Good night, Adrian. Good night, Brian, Jimmy, Beth, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Don.
Good night, everybody.
Series bound and picking up steam.
Let's go get 'em, Tiger.
There'll be joy in Tiger Town. We'll sing you songs. With the Bengals, bring the pennant home where it belongs.
We're all behind our baseball team.
Go get 'em.
He's got-